It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm back.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan, WFAN.
Yeah, let's go, New York City. You knew I was coming in with that hard year. Hello, happy Sunday to you and yours, wherever you are. Keith McPherson joining you for the next 3 hours to talk sports. You guessed it. No, I don't care about your favorite movie. No, I don't have enough time to talk about what I did over the weekend. I should have been at Yankee Stadium. We got to get right to it. I've been off for 3 days. No, not including today. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And what always happens to me is I start putting together notes every day that I'm off. And now I have 30 pages of notes on everything that happened, from the Olympics to Caitlin Clark showing up at the stadium to Braylon Allen and the Jets and Tommy DeVito and Zach Wilson. Nah, we got to rein it in. 888-808-1019. We're going to talk about the Yankees first, and then the Mets game will start before I'm off air. So we'll focus on our teams. Preseason football is preseason football. I swear you guys make too much about practice and exhibition in the NFL. It means nothing. Tommy DeVito is not going to be the week one starter for the Giants. What are we talking about? Zach Wilson is playing out there, though. He actually looked pretty decent today. As much as we hated him for the last 3 years here, I'm happy for that guy. And yeah, I saw a little bit of the Jets. But I'm going down the football path. It's August, and you can feel summer evaporating. You can feel a little bit of a chill in the air. This morning when I stepped outside, I'm like, it's on the way, fall. I can feel it. How many Sundays? Were we 4 Sundays away from 7 hours of commercial-free football? But you know what? We're in the dog days of baseball. And what I'll say about both the Mets and the Yankees is it's not going to be perfect. It can't be. It's not going to be exactly what you want. You just got to stop the bleeding. You can't fall too deep into a skid. You can't create bad habits. But it's baseball, man. Mother Nature's going to have a say. Yankee Stadium this week, a 9-game homestand, 2 doubleheaders, postponements, playing through the rain on Thursday night, not ideal conditions. Guys have to overcome that. They have to overcome the extra off day, you know, laying around, not playing every day, pitching changes. You had a Will Warren Yankee Stadium debut, and all in all, the Yankees did win the homestand. 5 out of 9, the Yankees did win 2 out of the 3 series. It was close. Shouldn't have been that close. Too close for comfort, honestly, when you go back to last Sunday and the Toronto Blue Jays series, and rain delayed that. And then today, let's lock in and focus on today. Today didn't have to be the way that it ended. I'm like, right as I start to drive here, it started to get a little crazy. I'm like, Mark Leiter Jr., what you doing? This Yankees bullpen, I'm sorry, I don't have faith in them. I mean, there's some good, but there's too much bad. And what I'll say about it not being perfect is we're going to need a lot of luck. We're going to need a lot of things to go right in a game where Juan Soto, a Soto photo, times two, Soto goes yard twice, Judge hits one out. They challenge Stanton. Everybody calling the Fan about change the lineup. Maybe we should change the rules of baseball. If you walk the guy 10 times, we'll give him 2 bases. Nah, this is what you do. Big G, be ready to go. The rest of these guys like Austin Wells, be ready to go. And when they want to walk Judge, they have to face the rest of the lineup. Big G, we always know, it takes a couple weeks for him to get his swing back together. It's been now almost 14 days or so since he came back against Philly. And now that he's seen a couple go out, I think G is back. Just look at how he got down and went after that ball. They brought Leclerc in. And you know what I'm saying is, with the Yankees scoring this much, and then their streak of how many games now, like the lineup is fine now. The lineup is fixed. Here's another 12 hits today. They have a streak of games where they have 8 hits and runs, and like now the offense is there. but you're worried about the bullpen and you're worried about the rotation. But you know what? Marcus Stroman coming out today after the last time we saw him was Friday to open up the homestand. Rain issues then. An 8:30 start, delayed start. He works on his mechanics, and he's able to go out there today and give us five innings of shutout baseball, one run, one earned run, one strikeout. And you look at a guy's performance like that, and you're just like, okay, fingers crossed, good enough. Like, the game didn't have to end the way that it ended. But Stroman figuring it out, good. Carlos Rodon, another one who's actually strung together four straight good outings. He scares me a little bit. Like, watching that game, he's barking at the umpire. I'm like, for what, dude? This is a doubleheader. Like, what are you trying to get tossed? And, like, we don't need the tough guy antics. You struggle, bro. We've seen you cry. Just play. But, I saw a picture of, like, his buddies were in Legends at the game, so maybe he had some extra juice for that. But, I mean, he worries me with the, you know, wearing his heart on his sleeve, the emotions. But we're getting better outings from him. And now people are talking about him working his way into the postseason rotation. I don't feel great about it, but it is what it is. 888-808-1019. Gerrit Cole striking out 10. You may feel some type of way about Boone taking him out. Whatever, yo, whatever. They have plans, and their plans aren't just for the day with their lanes and their decision-making. Their plan is to have Gerrit Cole right and ready in 2 months. And that's what it's all about. These are the dog days. You just got to get through them. You hope to win more than you lose. These are the dog days where everybody's tired. It's hot. Everybody's thinking about the finish line. And you have the haves and the have-nots. You have a team like the Yankees who have everything right in front of them. Like Boone told you, the division is right in front of them. The number one seed in the American League is still there. That's what I mean about not having skids, not losing too much where you lose sight of that. No, that's still right there. Like the fact that the Yankees get to 70 wins today, man, they should have done that in July. But whatever, whatever. It is what it is. It's still right in front of them. They are tied for first place. These are first place Yankees playing baseball going into the south side of Chicago with a chance to sweep the worst team we've seen in a long time. 888-808-1019. So what I'm saying is it's not going to be perfect. It's nowhere near perfect. You've got a third baseman playing third base for the first time. And as flashy and as stylish and as cool as he is, hitting two homers in the doubleheader, he's still going to have a learning curve because he's literally learning on the fly. A force out versus tagging the guy out, knowing that you're not the shortstop anymore and you're going way too far left into the shortstop's territory. On Anthony Volpe bobblehead day, gold glove bobblehead. I should have been there today. At some point tonight, I'll tell you guys why I wasn't at the stadium. I only went to one game of this 9-game homestand. That is just not like me, but I'm aging out. I'm growing up, and I wanted that bobblehead. I'm sure somebody will get me one. I know my boy Zach got me the Willie Randolph bobblehead. But then today I see they're giving out gold bobbleheads. There was like 1,100 gold bobbleheads given out. I'm like, no, nobody told me about this. I would have surely got one of those. And yeah, you've got Glaber and Jazz cutting in front of our gold glove shortstop to try and make plays. It's not going to be perfect. Glaber Torres is going to take you on a roller coaster ride. Clay Holmes is going to take you on an absolute roller coaster ride. Cardiac Clay. Do you have shortness of breath and trouble breathing when Clay Holmes is on the mound? I do. And I just like, why, bro? Every time I'm just like, why do we end up here? Because he's their closer. This is what they got. I know a lot of you said, can Mark Leiter Jr. be the closer after you saw what he did today? I don't know. Sometimes you're going to have it. Sometimes you're not. The trade deadline's over. Like, this is the team. You might see him. Ron Marinaccio, the pride of Toms River North, pop in here. I think they're going to get Ian Hamilton back and Nick Birdie. And boy, oh boy, do I hope and wish for Clark Schmidt to be the best version of himself when he returns. Jose Trevino coming back. But I'm sure now all of you are all sold on Austin Wells. And you should be. You should be. 888-808-1019. And DJ LeMahieu's hitting the ball. At least he's hitting the ball in the air and making contact and coming through. And you know, a guy like DJ, a lot of us were out on, down on. No. I remember getting on right after the trade deadline saying, these are the guys. If you're a Yankee fan, you root for the laundry. You root for the pinstripes. You root for the road Grays. You root for the Yankees. No matter who they put out there, whether it's Trent Grisham and you guys want Juan Soto, whether it's Clay Holmes and you'd rather have anybody close the game, like you're rooting for them to succeed. Gleyber Torres, yeah, he gets pulled out of a game, he gets benched, but ultimately you want him to play. Gleyber Torres has an 8-game hit streak going on right now. They didn't trade him. You know why? Because he's hitting. And now all of a sudden you look at this lineup from top to bottom, guys like Alex Verdugo finding it again. Having Jazz Chisholm lower in the lineup and him not striking out every time he goes up there. Him finding his home run stroke. Volpe will get back 0-for-4 today, tough with 3 Ks on his bobblehead day. But all in all, they have enough hitters and you're going to see them play the matchups, whether they're facing a lefty or righty. But this is the squad. This is the team. Pray for health and pray that they continue to get lucky and that they just outscore teams and they score enough runs. They needed all 8 of those runs today. They needed all 8 of those runs to take that game, to take that series, to take that homestand. 888-808-1019. You know, it's not perfect, and that's baseball, right? That's baseball, Susan. That's not Susan's brand of baseball, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, there are teams struggling across baseball right now that wish they were doing better, but baseball is a cruel game. You're not going to be perfect. No one is. It is an imperfect game. It is a game of failure. And yeah, that's baseball, Susan. And I got to send a big shout out to Susan Waldman first. We'll get to Craig, but Susan Waldman first. I listened yesterday more so than I did today. I listened to the end of the game today as I drove in. But Susan Waldman deserves a round of applause. Susan Waldman deserves all of your respect because she is a pro on top of a pro. And that's the first thing I said about Craig joining Susan in the booth. These are two radio Hall of Famers. They're professionals. And for Susan to welcome Craig in and put aside some of the nonsense that you guys continue to bring to the table. Oh, he mocked her. Yeah, you guys make a lot about people mocking people, and you guys make a lot about jokes and things like that. Like, Susan didn't take it so personal that she couldn't be professional. And I do think that Craig brought something to the broadcast. He definitely brought a buzz. If anything, he brought a lot of controversy and people talking about it and people tuning in to say, how's this going to sound? And for a guy that I know doesn't watch that much baseball, for a guy that I know isn't as locked in on everything and he doesn't have to know every rule, like I enjoyed Susan Waldman schooling him a bit. I enjoyed Susan Waldman flexing her knowledge of the game, of the ballpark, where to find the pitches, the vertical break, the horizontal break, the pitch count in Yankee Stadium. That was one of the first things, you know, and Susan talking about rules and little things. Craig's talking about, well, you know, tie goes to the runner, and Susan saying, no, we don't do that up here. And then today you see the first out of the game. It's Josh Smith and Marcus Stroman. That was a tie. If you've ever seen a tie, tie went to the pitcher. 888-808-1019. But yeah, Craig brought his energy. He brought his style. He brought his charisma and his voice. Craig's getting old, man. Craig, you got to hit the Ricolas. You got to hit the honey. Something. Craig's voice is breaking. It is at the end. But no, I enjoyed his home run calls. It may go gone. I enjoyed the banter between him and Susan. It was a good change of pace. And the last thing I'll say about it is just big props to both of them. I think so many people think they could do this stuff. It is hard. It is nerve-wracking. It is live. You can't take any of it back. It is in the moment. You're not going to know everything. And I think people put way too much stock in, oh, this guy doesn't know anything. This guy doesn't. I hate that. That's my biggest pet peeve in baseball. I love all sports, but in baseball the most, I find that there are fans that try to look down on other fans by saying, this guy doesn't know anything about baseball. This guy doesn't know ball. You can't know everything about baseball. It is vast. But to know how to call a game, that's tough. That takes skill. That takes practice. That takes timing. And everybody thinks they could do it until your mouth is in front of that live mic. And then it's, bideep. So congratulations to Craig Carton for putting that show on for the last 2 days and crossing that off the bucket list. And also a bigger props and pat on the back to Susan Waldman, having fun with it, being professional, letting the past be the past, not harboring any negative feelings, because at the end of the day, what they were trying to do is call some baseball games for the New York Yankees and the New York Yankee fan base. And Craig brought us a little bit of luck. There were a lot of hits, a lot of homers, a lot of excitement, and three very different ball games that we got yesterday in the doubleheader and today. 888-808-1019. We will go through everything with the Yankees series. I mean, coincidentally enough, they play two doubleheaders this week. And you're looking at these doubleheaders, and, you know, they come out swinging in the first one. Second one ends up being a flop. I looked at it as an opportunity, I think, on my Twitter, at Keith_McPherson. I put out, huge opportunity for the Yankees. Play two, take two, to try and, you know, gain some room in the standings. But all in all, they end the doubleheaders with a split. It's hard to take two. They end the homestand with one more win than loss, and they get two series wins out of the three, and they head on a road trip to face the White Sox and face the Detroit Tigers with two off days built in there. I would like them to sweep all of those games. I wanted them to sweep the Angels, but it's tough to do. These haves and have-nots, the have-nots are playing spoiler right now. The have-nots are trying to get the best of whoever they can get the best of. They have no pressure. All the pressure is on the Yankees or teams like the Mets, right? You know, or teams that are just in it fighting, like the Guardians. I was just about to give props to the Guardians. They slid a bit. The Orioles just lost today to the Rays, so we're right there. We'll get into all of it, but we'll start with the Yankees, and then we'll get into the Mets, and then I will mix in little things from Team USA men's basketball, the Avengers. What a game yesterday and a way to go out. Obviously, they were going to win the whole thing, but they had a flair for dramatic. Steph Curry's just ridiculous. And then, yeah, we'll mix in conversation around preseason NFL football. Definitely want to talk about Malik Nabers. Definitely want to talk about Daniel Jones now with Drew Lock getting hurt, right? All the talk about, oh, play this guy in the preseason. Don't play this guy in the preseason. Like, you just saw Drew Lock get hurt in that game Thursday. Hendon Hooker got hurt in that game. Guys are going to get hurt. This is live. This is real football. And these are third string and backup guys playing. Some guys practice squad, some guys never again. A lot of these guys are playing for their NFL careers. Some of these guys are going really hard. This might be the only chance they get, and they're cut the next week. So we'll talk about the NFL, we'll talk about the Olympics, but really I'm going to take these Yankees calls, and we'll hit on everything with the New York Yankees, from the lineup, position players, guys in the rotation, guys in the bullpen, guys coming back, and the outlook for the next week. And then as we get closer to Sunday Night Baseball live on ESPN, for the first time in 20 years, they're going to Seattle. They show no love to Seattle. I'm glad they are. The All-Star Game was out there last year. I had a great time. T-Mobile Park, it's a great ballpark. They have a great fan base. They just haven't done that much winning as of late. But they have here against the Mets. Two shutouts. Here comes Luis Severino with the team on his back. Sevy, you got to have a good outing. Shake it off. We understand you haven't been this deep in a season in a little while. You haven't thrown this many pitches, this many innings. But here comes a challenge, just like last year when you were with the Yankees, and the Yankees needed you, and the Yankees were just fighting and fighting to stay alive. And every time they threw Luis Severino out there, he was throwing batting practice. It can't happen tonight. You cannot get swept. And the Mets lineup has to wake up. You can't have all of these scoreless innings. You can't go from being a double-digit run team, double-digit hit team, putting up all these numbers in the R column, H column, and then just not having it. And I just heard Mark Vientos scratched. I know guys are struggling a little bit. It was good I wasn't on air, but I told you there was going to be a game where Pete Alonso would come through, have a couple homers. Pete Alonso's got to come through. J.D. Martinez, Lindor, Francisco Alvarez, Nimmo, all of these guys, like, they can't all fold at once. This is a huge game tonight for this 10-game road trip for the New York Mets. We'll get into that as well. 888-808-1019 is the number to dial. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. A little Sunday sauce. I haven't been here since Wednesday night. And looking forward to this show and next Sunday live from Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center. I'll be on stage 12 to 3 on Sunday. If you're there, I'd love to see you. I'd love to meet you. Come out. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to 9 p.m. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. A little Snoop D-O-double-G on the Fan. Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg. Like, how does Snoop Dogg get the deal that he got to go out
to Paris, make $500,000 a day, not including all this other, like, who knows? That's just what we know. I'm sure there's some other type of appearances, social media stuff. Like, when you think about the brands involved globally, like, I just don't know. Give me his agent. Somebody connect me to his agent, his marketing people. Snoop Dogg? Calvin Brodus? Like, Snoop Dogg? Snoop Dogg is so old. Like, why is he the guy? Why is Snoop Dogg the guy to represent? I don't know. Shout out to Calvin Brodus Jr., though. Snoop Dogg is 52 years old. He's the mascot for the United States, I guess. Can't keep a player down, you know. That's a guy they tried to cancel 100 times. Can't keep a player down. 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. You've got me till 9 p.m. Can't wait to talk to you. Can't wait until Sunday Night Baseball starts in about 40 minutes. Let's get right to the phones. Let's go to Frank out in Long Island. On Long Island. Frank, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, tonight's game, this Sunday night game, is a must-win game for the Mets. Nemo needs to wake up. Alonso needs to wake up. And even J.D. Martinez needs to wake up. This whole offense and pitching needs to wake up. This, like, if we get shut out again tonight, this all, like, I don't even know what to say. And I think this is a true test against a team that's probably going to be in the playoffs, probably going to be a wild card team.
Maybe, yeah.
This is not good.
Don't panic. I'll say this. It's a must-win game, especially when you look at, and thanks for the call, Frank. When you look at this road trip for the Mets, you got to win this game to split the road trip, right? Yeah, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, just to, so it's not a losing road trip. And then you have an off day. You also can't get shut out. You already lost the series to the Mariners, but you can't get blanked. You lost 6-0. You lost 4-0. And not for nothing, I mean, the Mariners have great pitching and great defense. They're making plays. They're pitching. They're tough. I mean, you run into Logan Gilbert, and he's absolutely on one. Luis Castillo. And you know what? They're a peer-tier team. That's a term that we like to use here at WFAN. They're a peer-tier team to you. They are a team fighting for the wild card, also fighting for first place in their division. But when you look at their record, they're 62-56. The Mets are 61-56. I remember the Mariners coming here to Yankee Stadium and beating the Yankees after Clay Holmes blew a game. And folks on The Fan saying that the Yankees can't beat elite teams and that the Mariners were an elite team. And I'm like, what? What? But I'll say this. The Mariners are going for it because, again, tonight they'll be featured on national television. That's another reason why you can't lose the game. The whole world will be watching. It'll be, you know, the game for the country to watch tonight. And Luis Castillo on the mound. That was a guy that Yankee fans wanted. I know I wanted Luis Castillo. I saw him at the All-Star game in L.A., told him so much. Never happened. But, yeah, the lineup has to come through. Luis Severino can't be shaky. But what I'll say about the Mariners, too, is that they went for it at the deadline. They went out there and added. They added Randy Arozarena. They added Justin Turner. The whole year, people were talking about how, oh, they don't have the bats. They don't have the offense. And they said, okay, well, we can add. We can add. And, I mean, depending on what you think about what David Stearns added, depending on what you think about what Brian Cashman added, I mean, you have one last opportunity to improve your team before you make the final push. 888-808-1019. I saw Buster Only wrote that the Mariners all-star Julio Rodriguez is expected to be activated and back in the lineup tonight. Serving as the DH, Seattle is set to play the Mets on Sunday Night Baseball. So now you got to deal with Julio as well. We'll see what happens. We'll get to the Mets, but I got to get to the Yankee fans. 888-808-1019. Josh is calling from the Bronx where the Yankees play.
I'm telling you, Keith, very quickly, that Giancarlo Stanton, he always seems to impress me at the right time. And, you know, those big three, Soto, Judge, and Giancarlo, man. Oh, man. I'm speechless. You take it from there. Thank you for taking my call, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah. Anytime that we can give props to Giancarlo Stanton, let's do it. because he's the whipping boy for every year that he's been here. Oh, this guy's getting paid too much. Oh, this guy's always hurt. Oh, this guy strikes out too much. Oh, how come he can't carry the team when Judge gets hurt? This is a guy that is going to probably end his career with 500 homers and be in the Hall of Fame. This is a guy whose contract is not as heavy as it once was. This is a guy who actually now, when we look at him and what he's been able to do since coming back, it hasn't taken that long. I said it would take about 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks. He's back. He's hitting home runs. He's hitting doubles. His swing is there. His timing is there. And he says he feels good. He says he feels better than he's felt in years before coming back. He is vital. He is vital. He was having such a good start to the year, but he's vital in this Yankee lineup when we're talking about every night, oh, man, sucks, they're walking Judge. Or what are we going to do to solve this intentional walk problem with Judge? Oh, they got to change the rule. Or no. Like, you just have to have a lineup where guys will make them pay. And Aaron Judge can't stop, won't stop, automatically, systematically. The hitter that Judge is, I've still not ever taken it back. For what my money's worth and what I've seen with my own eyes in Yankee Stadium, that's the best ball player I've seen, best hitter I've seen. I get it. Barry Bonds, I saw him as a kid. He was great. He was on roids. I know roids didn't hit the ball for him. But listen, Judge as a clean player, Judge as a modern-day player with the changes in the game, like when they do decide to pitch to this guy, he's taking what they give him. And when they make a mistake to throw him something that he can drive, see ya. It's gone. And I'm fingers crossed, man. Like, I'm not content with Clay Holmes as the closer. I'm not content with this bullpen and some of the options. Like, Weavy Wonder, Luke Weaver let us down yesterday. It's going to happen. Clay Holmes going to let you down more times than not. It's going to be an adventure. You got guys coming back like Ian Hamilton, Nick Birdie. Shout out to Jake Cousins. You like that? Kirk Cousins' cousin, we do like that. Jake Cousins has been solid. But there's guys, Tommy Canley. You're not sure exactly which Tommy Canley you're going to get. What I'm saying is the bullpen, it's not going to just be 1-2-3 lights out, solid every time. But fingers crossed that when we get to October, whether it's Gleyber Torres leading off or Alex Verdugo leading off, depending whether we're facing a righty, lefty, just having Soto, Judge, I think Wells is going to be there to stay, Stanton in the lineup, man. Stanton behind Judge, if it's not Wells, clean up. Like, having these guys as real threats to drive the ball and make managers and opposing pitchers pay, like, that's what we need. And then when you get lower in the lineup now, the bottom of the order doesn't look so shaky now, right? There's no Jamai Jones. You know, the Trent Grisham, hopefully he's all right after wearing one. Some of you guys are despicable on Yankees Twitter. People, as soon as they're like, Trent Grisham's done. Get Jason Dominguez up here. I'm like, yo, the Jason Dominguez hype. I mean, I get it, but I also am not sold on, like, Jason Dominguez is going to come up here and hit home runs like he did at the end of last year. I'll say this to you. I'm rooting for that. Embrace the Martian. But, like, when he came up last year, the season was cooked. I always use this phrase for what they did. I said that was break glass in case of emergency, right? Fire Cashman night's coming. How do we quell that? Send up the Martian. And you send up the Martian, he takes Justin Verlander deep on his first swing. The Yankees are able to sweep the Astros in Houston for like the first time ever. And then in 8 games, it seemed like he hit a homer every game. I don't know if that's what he's going to be. But Brian Cashman did go on MLB Network Radio. And here's the quote before we get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. He talked about Jason Dominguez. He said he's healthy. Ultimately, the injuries this year prevented him from getting much of a bulk performance. He's definitely sitting there waiting in the wings if need be, playing mostly in center field. I think we're going to get him over in left. He's done multiple positions in his career. He's just waiting in the wings, hungry and waiting to see if he gets his chance. It's nice to know he's available to us if need be. There's no current lane for us to bring him. It's nice to know he's there. He's just knocking off rust and waiting for his opportunity if it comes. Now, I'll say this. Take that with a grain of salt, like what he's saying right now. Obviously, rosters expand not too long from now. This week, we're in the middle of August. We're like 3 weeks away from September call-ups. And when you're going through the dog days, some guys won't stretch as well, won't warm up as well. Somebody might pull something. Somebody might strain something. Not wishing that on any of the New York Yankees. I just told you to pray for health. But, like, if Jason Dominguez is waiting in the wings, who's the first guy called up? And when you look at this bench, like the bench today with Oswaldo on the bench and Trent Grisham on the bench, I mean, obviously, if he's playing center field, it's him over Trent Grisham easily. But we'll see. I just think there's enough time for that. And the last thing I'll say about it before we break is you don't want to show your hand too early. Like, what if this kid is what he was last year? Let's play the other card. Like, what if he is this dominant, switch-hitting, home run hitter that guys can't get out, and you're able to put him in this lineup that I'm dreaming of with Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton? Well, if he is that, don't show your hand so fast. Wait till we get closer to October. And fingers crossed again, I don't know, say your prayers and Hail Marys and Our Fathers and wear your pajamas inside out and be a good little boy. But, like, we got to get there. And we got to get the number one seed. We got to win the division, all that. Because in this new extra postseason team in the wild card, like, you don't want to be playing all those extra rounds. You want the easiest path to get to the ALCS and potentially a World Series. And I really do think it could happen this year, even though everything's not perfect. It's about getting healthy, being healthy, staying healthy, and getting hot at the right time. Right now is the right time to call. 888-808-1019. We're going to take another break, play some sounds. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back. We don't play. We don't play around. Right back at it on the Fan in New York. A little Sunday sauce. Keith McPherson joining you till 9 p.m. as the sun starts to set. And we get ready for the work week. I've been out for a little while. When we come back in the 7 o'clock hour, I'll tell you what I was doing over the last 3 days. Somebody asked on Twitter, where you been? I said, I've been busy, man. Not exactly all the kind of busy I would like to be, but, you know, it is what it is. Everything can't just be sports, 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 watching sports, going to games, talking sports. I have family, I have friends, I have obligations, and I have an obligation to take your calls, and I haven't taken enough of them yet. I think I've taken 3. Henry's in Brooklyn. Henry, you're on the Fan.
Keith, thanks so much for having me on. Your open gave me all the answers to all the questions that I had about the Bombers up in the Bronx, so I'm glad to hear that went the way it did. You talked about Craig back on the airwaves on the Fan here, talking about the Yankees. So, but that was cool. I mean, I was sad I missed the game today. I really wanted to hear some of those calls. But you said the homers went well, and there were a lot of homers to call, so that's cool. It was a good series,
yeah,
for him to be on with. And yeah. You're the guy on the Fan. You're one of the few that when it comes to the Yankees, let's see what Keith has to say. So it was definitely great to be able to see you there. Sorry you weren't able to be in the bleachers, not in the stands today.
Yeah.
But if you got to hear Craig, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun, Henry. I don't know what happened to you there. It was fun. And that was the whole purpose, right? Let's shake things up. Let's have some fun. Let's create a buzz in the Bronx around Craig Carton calling a game. I mean, I sat in during the White Sox series in May, and I had never called a baseball game before, and I sat in for Susan, and Susan gave the okay for that. I made sure to thank her for giving the green light. And I mean, my brain was exploding. My heart was racing. I just, like, as the fan that I am, to be in that spot, it was overwhelming. And I mean, Craig had a lot more time to prepare than I did. I had like 10 days to get ready for that. And there's no way to get ready for that when you're doing shows till 2 a.m. I have a 16-month-old baby. I have a wife. I have family. I have all these different things. There's no way. And there's no way to say, okay, how do I practice being Susan Waldman? I listened to the broadcast. I still couldn't read the cards as well as Susan. My timing, delivery, it's a lot to process while you're watching the game live. There's also the Yes Network feed right in front of your face. There's fans in the Delta Suite underneath you. I am an online guy, so everybody that was tweeting me or DMing me or writing comments and everybody that I've ever met wanted to text me between that Friday night, Saturday. I only did 2 games, and then Meredith filled in. Meredith Marakovich did the Sunday game, but I felt like everybody wanted to text me and be like, yo, this is crazy that you're calling a Yankee game. I'm like, if you think it's crazy, imagine how crazy it is for me. 888-808-1019. But for Craig, I'm happy that he gets to, do that. And I think there was a lot of people, as always, it comes with the territory, rooting for you to mess up or fail. And I'm sure he messed up a couple times. I know I was talking to Brian Hoke. I'll tell you where I was talking to Brian Hoke when we come back from break. I was talking to Brian Hoke about my two games. I can still remember everywhere that I tripped up and that I messed up because I'm hard on myself. And I'm just like, I'm terrible. But it doesn't matter. It's about bringing your energy, having fun, entertaining, and having more positive moments than negative moments. And there are no negative moments. It's like some people take this way too serious. It's a baseball game. It's a doubleheader. It's three baseball games over the weekend in August. It's all right. It's okay. We all know Ricky Ricardo is the best. We all know nobody will ever be John Sterling. But for Craig Carton to be the professional that he is, to take on the challenge of calling the actual balls and strikes and describing what he was seeing, that is hard to do for somebody that does not do it every day, for somebody that's job is completely different, right? His radio job was completely different. His radio job, he came in here and he made you laugh. He made you say, hey, a little bit of shock, a little bit of awe. I don't think he really wowed you with his sports knowledge. He paved the way for you to come on WFAN and say anything. He paved the way for you to not necessarily to know everybody on the roster or coming out of the bullpen, you know, because it's entertainment, right? Like I said, people make too much about, oh, this guy knows nothing about baseball. Like, I've never met a pretty girl and asked her, hey, you know, why are you with him? I've never met a hot girl that said anything about a guy like, yeah, you know, I love this guy because he knows everything about baseball. It's just not a thing. Right? There's other characteristics. There's other things that people bring to the table, and nobody can know everything about baseball. 888-808-1019. But I know that the Yankees were able to win one game yesterday and another game today, and that's good enough to stay in first place. That's good enough to win the homestand. And I'll take it, man. Richard in Manhattan on the fan. You got it.
Hi, Keith. I went to the Yankee game yesterday, the second game. I went today. And I was probably the only guy in Yankee Stadium, 45,000 people with a transistor radio. So I listened to Craig.
Good.
Craig and Susan were great. It was wonderful listening to both. Craig brings the energy, brings enthusiasm.
Right.
Him and Susan were great together. My only minor criticism would be today in the ninth inning. Well, Craig was up there by himself because Susan goes down to do the post game, and he would say Texas stole three or four bases, but I didn't know whether they were a base runner indifference and all of that. That would be my only, and I'm sure he didn't know, and I don't think there's any way on the scoreboard you would know that, you know, whether, you know, when they let you steal a base because they don't even throw or they don't even care. But anyway, other than that, Craig was fantastic. So him and Susan, what I think of Susan is off the charts anyway, with her and John. So, and I agree with you, Ricky is the best because he's an older man and his Hispanic background is great with the Spanish players. I love all of that. And he's got stories to draw on. So all of that is great. They're all, and Emmanuel and Justin are great. So,
yep.
And Keith,
got
I think you would do a great job. I think you would be fantastic if they gave you a shot. So it's all great.
Maybe not with the play-by-play. I never did that. I never did it in college.
Why not? So
you played football.
You'll do it one day. Why not?
Hard to
Why
call
not?
A football or baseball game when there's spring practice and other things. But, you know, to do the color again, if I ever got the opportunity, I think I'd be better for it because now I've done it. What I'm saying basically with everybody is, with John Sterling surprising us this year and saying, I've had enough, I'm done, that's all, folks. It opened up the opportunity to do this. And people are so critical of everyone that gets the opportunity to do it. It's hard to do. And I think that we're having fun, and obviously there's been some musical chairs, and like I give my props to Ricky Ricardo because he's been like this. That's why I said it's not a surprise. But man, I don't knock anyone that tries to do it. Emmanuel and Justin, like E-Man and Shaq, those are my guys. They're young. They have the next 20, 30 years to become who they're going to be. You know, so I don't know. I'm glad that you called with that, Richard. Appreciate the call. You know, I wasn't at the game today. I find myself now, and I don't mind it. I'm a dad now. I just can't go to as many games as I used to go to. I have a responsibility. I'm someone's dad, legit. Like, I have a 16-month-old son who needs me, and my wife who needs me as well, but also needs me to help wrangle him. He's crazy. Like, now this kid can walk and talk, and, like, he's a little Tasmanian devil. He's a little monster. I was calling him Mowgli from Jungle Book. Like, this guy is just like, you could drop him in the wilderness, it seems. He eats everything. He fights me for not letting him eat food off the ground. He does everything kicking and screaming. If he pees his diaper, he wants to keep the pee diaper on. I'm like, that diaper's sagging, bro. We got to change it out. And he's going to fight me all the way until the new diaper is strapped up. So yesterday, I go back home down the shore to link with some friends. And it was just a wild experience because, you know, I played football in college. And one year I had the football house. I was the oldest guy. It was the year I turned 21. I was the oldest guy. So my name was on all the bills, the lease, and just like I was thinking I was being responsible. And I lived with seven other football players in my college house. After that experience, never again. No way. Living with seven other dudes, like, no way. No way. No way. I don't even have to go into detail about the shenanigans that would go on in the place that you go to sleep every night. The security deposit, not only did they take the security deposit, we owed them money after that we completely damaged that place. So the years after, I'm like, I'm not living with football players again. I'm not moving into the dorms. Back in the dorms, I tried to find a roommate to get an apartment with off campus. It never happened. So what I ended up doing was moving in with my girl, who is now my wife and the mother of my child. But I ended up moving in to my girl's college house with her two roommates. So for 3 years, I ended up, and I graduated, so really 2 years. But then the last year, I still stayed with them when I was out of college because I was a DJ, MC, promoter in the area. But for 3 years, I lived with the same three girls who are now grown women. And what we did yesterday was get all of us together with the kids. And so there was four babies under 3 years old, as young as, I think, you know, 3 months, and as old as 3 years old. And then my son, 16 months. Either way, it was a wild experience to be all of us together again when we used to hang out, drink, party. And now everybody's going to bed by 10:30, 11 o'clock because we have maniacs that are going to wake up at 6 in the morning yelling and screaming, looking for food. It was just like a culture shock for me. I'm just like, yo, this is what I'm doing on a Saturday night. Like, I didn't go to the doubleheader. I'm going to miss Anthony Volpe bobblehead day. Yeah, because my wife put this date on the calendar months ago and said, hey, we're going back down the shore. We're going to hang out with our friends and get all the babies together and do parent stuff. I'm in the room like, where are our parents? We're the parents now? There should be like more adults here. There should be older people here. I don't know if we have this under control. 888-808-1019. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Mets when we come back because Sunday night baseball is about to begin in a little bit. You've got me for 2 more hours taking your calls on the Yankees, the Mets, and we'll mix in the Olympics and Team USA basketball. Please do not try to talk down the accomplishment of winning gold. Please don't be that person. It's great. The women's team won. The men's team won. The soccer team won. There's a lot. The United States had a great showing at the Olympics. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan taking another break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.